It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is December 19 of 2023. Hope your Tuesday's treating you well. Thanks so much for being here. However you are tuned in, number of options. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM. On our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Speaking of the website, bookmark it. That's where you get the podcast of this show, all sorts of other local, statewide, and national sports content. You've also got local news there, promotional and programming information, Waterloo Blackhawks minutes on demand, a treasure trove of content. Bookmark it, visit on a daily basis, 1650thefan.com. Make sure you're following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, at Real Cole Bear. Like our Facebook page, type in 1650thefan on the Zuck machine, you'll find us, and hammer that like button. You'll get more of that local and statewide sports content from that website onto your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Save the number if you ever feel compelled to dial up the show with any questions or comments to add to the conversations, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show if you'd rather do that than call. By all means, do so. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Also, if you'd like to hear from a certain someone or about a certain subject, let me know. Send me an email, and I'll consider it. Might even do it. But if you send me an email, no, I may read it on the air. Try to keep those profanities to a minimum. I know it can be difficult. All right, coming up today on the show, we'll get to area sports news and scores for your Tuesday. Big stack here to get through, so can't be dilly-dallying today. After we're done there, we will take timeout number one, get you a VSiN action update, a national sports update, as well as forecast for the rest of your Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We will come back on the other side of the break and be joined by David Eicholt, our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com and the 24/7 Sports Network. David does an outstanding job covering Iowa athletics. And very much looking forward to talking to him today, like usual, but maybe even a little more today as Kirk Ferentz, Iowa football coach, has spoken about his ongoing search for a new offensive coordinator. Yes, the replacement for his son, Brian, who will be out of here after Iowa takes on Tennessee in the Cheez-It Bowl. So, that's a Jan 1 Bowl. I think I got that right. So that'll be Brian Ferentz's last day as Iowa's offensive coordinator employed by the university. And Kirk Ferentz recently spoke about that search. So we'll see how encouraging or maybe not so encouraging the news is there. If you are an Iowa fan, I would imagine you're probably quite tied into this search, understandably so. Also, while we have David in the next segment, we'll, of course, get his latest on Iowa women's basketball. Lisa Bluter's team now 11-1 after they got that win on Saturday in Des Moines at Wells Fargo Arena against Cleveland State, a homecoming of sorts for Caitlin Clark. Iowa men's basketball 6-5 now. They got a win on Saturday against Florida A&M. That's a win they paid for, and they got it. And where are we at here with this Fran McCaffrey team, guys and gals? Where are we with this team? I said when we had the coach Kevin Lehman on last week that it felt like an early Fran era team at Iowa, that the amount of talent, therefore the potential, the ceiling of potential for this team feels about as low as it has been since some of those early years before Fran really started to branch out with Iowa's recruiting map and bring in talent from places that had previously not been brought into the program before from those places. So I'd be interested to get anybody's thoughts out there. Hawk fans, are you out there? What do you think about this Fran McCaffrey team this year? To me, it feels like I won't go as far to say a rebuild. I don't think Fran would want anybody to say that. Not that I care that like what Fran wants me to say or not say about his team. But I won't say rebuild, but I would call it a transition year. I think that's fair because I don't get the impression right now that this is an NCAA tournament team. I'd be happy if they proved me wrong. It's great business. When I want all the Division I teams in Iowa to make the NCAA tournament. I really do. But I'm not getting that impression from this team so far. I'm just not. So that'll be among what we talk about when David joins us in the next segment of today's show. And if you have your 2 cents to offer or more than that, I gave you the email, cole@1650thefan.com, or dial us up, 319-277-1918-800-913-9479. After we're done talking Hawkeyes with David Eicholt, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that break and have audio from Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz, defensive back Cooper DeJean, Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey, and UNI women's basketball assistant coach Brad Nelson. Going to make sure to get to that today. The Panthers struggling 1-7 this season so far. And as Coach Nelson did point out, albeit at the same time, you know, saying they should have won more games than they have so far throughout their non-conference portion of the schedule here, they have had the third toughest schedule in the country so far. So if you're looking for any sort of explanation going, wait a minute. Even if you're not a big follower of UNI women's basketball, you might be going, wait a minute, I know Tanya Warren's teams usually, you know, win 20 games in their sleep. What's going on in Cedar Falls there? The schedule has been an absolute gauntlet, and injuries have besieged this team, particularly to their two-star players, point guard Maya McDermott and their center Grace Buffelli. So Coach Nelson spoke at yesterday's noon press conference. He's been Tanya's assistant for so long that he does a great job at the podium. So I want to make sure and bring you that audio. I know we got plenty of UNI women's basketball fans out there, and we'll bring you that audio from Coach Nelson coming up in the third segment as well. After we're done there, we will take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Tuesday and wrap up the show. So that is the plan, boys and girls. Just going to go ahead and dive right in here. Big old stack of area sports news and scores for a Tuesday. And last night in Metro basketball, Waterloo Columbus Catholic hosted a girl-boy doubleheader against Dunkerton. And in the girls' game, Waterloo Columbus outscored the Raiders 66-61. Sailors were led by Morgan Bradley's 22 points. In the boys' game, Dunkerton got the best of the Sailors 66-54. Leo Christensen had a double-double for Columbus, scoring 17 and grabbing 14 rebounds. Meanwhile, yesterday in Metro High School Bowling, in a boys' match, Iowa City West edged Cedar Falls 31-37 to 30-23. And in a girls' match, Cedar Falls downed Iowa City West 22-91 to 19-61. The Tigers' Maggie Goodwin with a 202 game and a 376 series in the win. Meanwhile, tonight in Metro Boys basketball, Cedar Falls hosts Western Dubuque. Listen to that game on Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage begins at 7:15. Dave Finnegan on the call, and shout out to one Dave Finnegan. I did happen to see Dave's social media post. He did a little arithmetic and said that tonight will be his 100th broadcast and of Cedar Falls Tiger basketball, football combined in his years that he's been doing it all. And Dave's been here for as long as I've been here. I'm coming in on 5 years now here. And Dave Finnegan is just a massive asset, not just to Koloff Media, but I think it's more than fair to say to the community. What he does, doing an outstanding job bringing Tiger football, Tiger boys and girls basketball to the airwaves on Cruising KCFI. Man, just cannot say thank you enough for what Dave does for me, for our team here, and most importantly, for Tiger Athletics and the community as a part of that. So shout out to Dave. He'll have another great call tonight over on Cruising KCFI. As I mentioned, Cedar Falls boys hosting Western Dubuque, 7:15 pregame. In other Metro boys basketball games tonight, Waterloo West is at Dubuque Waller. Waterloo East plays at Ames. Meanwhile, in girls Metro basketball, 9th-ranked Cedar Falls is at 15th-ranked Western Dubuque. Waterloo West hosts 5th-ranked Dubuque Waller, and Waterloo East travels to Ames. In girls wrestling, Waterloo West among 13 schools competing in the West Marshall Invitational. And in boys and girls bowling, Waterloo East playing host to Fort Dodge at Cadillac XBC. The 6th-ranked Iowa State wrestling team took part in the collegiate duels yesterday in Nashville, Tennessee. A successful day for the Cyclones. They recorded 3 wins, including a pair over ranked opponents. Iowa State beat number 13 Pittsburgh 21-14, stopped Little Rock 31-19, and finished the day with a 26-14 win over number 5 Cornell. The Cyclones are now 6-1 in duels this season. Iowa State women's basketball forward Audie Crooks has earned Big 12 Freshman of the Week honors. In the Cyclones' 105-68 win over Troy on Sunday, Crooks led the Clones with 21 points on 9 of 10 shooting. Crooks narrowly missed her second double-double of the season, pulling down 9 rebounds. Iowa State plays its final non-conference game of the season tomorrow night, hosting UNI. Listen to that game right here on The Fan. Pregame begins at 6 tomorrow night. Tip-off at 6:30. Iowa's Caitlin Clark has once again earned Big Ten Player of the Week honors, the 22nd time she has received the weekly award, second most in conference history, behind former Hawkeye Megan Gustafson with 23. Clark led the Hawkeyes to a win in Des Moines against Cleveland State on Saturday, registering a game-high 38 points with 5 assists, 5 rebounds, and 2 steals. The All-American matched her career high with 9 three-pointers in that win. The Iowa women's basketball team finds itself in a familiar spot in the latest AP Top 25. For the 3rd straight week, the Hawkeyes remain number 4 in the rankings. South Carolina continues to be top-ranked. UCLA is 2nd. North Carolina is 3rd. The Hawks return to action on Thursday, hosting Loyola Chicago for its non-conference finale. UNI junior guard Nate Heisey has been named the Missouri Valley Conference's Player of the Week. Heisey recorded the 2 best scoring performances of his career this past week, pumping in a career-high 25 in a win against Prairie View A&M, following that up with 24 points against Alcorn State on Sunday. He shot 77% from the floor, including 63% from behind the three-point line. Through 12 games this year, Heisey leads UNI in scoring, averaging 15.3 points per game. StatsPerform.com has released its 2023 FCS All-American teams, and 3 UNI players were selected. Place kicker Matthew Cook was named to the 2nd team, while offensive lineman Jared Penning and defensive lineman Christian Boyd are on the 3rd team. Cook, a Cedar Falls native, became the 2nd player in Missouri Valley Football Conference history to reach 400 points this season. Penning anchored an offensive line that was a part of an offense with the 2nd best passing marks in the MVFC. Boyd, meanwhile, recorded 43 tackles, 6.5 for a loss. The UNI wrestling team is involved in dual competition today and this evening at those collegiate duels in Nashville, Tennessee. The 25th-ranked Panthers involved in 3 duels. Earlier this afternoon, UNI took on number 10 Ohio State and fell short 26-7. Going on right now, the Panthers are taking on 2nd-ranked North Carolina State, And then later this evening at 6, the Panther train will take on Lock Haven. As a team, you and I has an opportunity to make history, as you and I is just 2 wins shy of the program's 800th dual win. Wartburg senior linebacker Owen Grover has been named D3Football.com's National Defensive Player of the Year. It marks the first National Player of the Year honor in program history. Grover is a 4-time All-American. He's also a 2-time D3Football.com Regional Defensive Player of the Year and 2-time American Rivers Conference Defensive MVP. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a VSiN action update, a national sports update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll be joined by David Eichel of HawkeyeInsider.com. We'll talk about Kirk Ferentz's search for a new offensive coordinator, his latest on Iowa men's and women's basketball, and more. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Take the guesswork out of your holiday gifts. OmahaSteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and save an additional $30 with promo code VSIN. OmahaSteaks.com.
Christmas Eve, the Chicago Bears, a 4-point home favorite against the Arizona Cardinals at Soldier Field, where the total is 44. The Cardinals have dropped 6 straight games on the road against NFC opponents, and they've had 5 straight unders on the road. The Bears coming off a 20-17 loss at Cleveland as a 3-point underdog. That was a push. Kansas City Chiefs hosting Las Vegas Raiders on Christmas Day at Arrowhead. Chiefs are the 10-point favorite, 41.5 the total. Drake Bulldogs, a 20.5-point favorite at home today against Alcorn State. 154 the total at the Knapp Center. The Braves have dropped 9 straight. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
The best gifts won't be found under a tree this season. Western Home Communities reminds you to slow down, savor the simple things, and reach out to others. That's where you'll find peace and joy. Merry Christmas from Western Home Communities.
The Cedar Falls Community School District would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Cedar Falls High School Band Director Kyle Engelhart on being named an Exceptional Educator by the NEA Foundation. The NEA Foundation has honored hundreds of exemplary educators in every state. Mr. Engelhart and the other 2024 Educator Awardees will be honored at the NEA Foundation's Salute to Excellence in Education on May 3rd, 2024 in Washington, D.C. 5 of the awardees nominated by National Education Association state affiliates will be chosen as finalists for the top national award and receive $10,000. The educator selected for the top honor will be revealed at the NEA Foundation Salute to Excellence in Education and receive $25,000.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Merry Christmas. This is Pastor Tim Butker from Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa. I want to invite you and your family to our Christmas Eve services at 3, 5, and 10 p.m. We hope you'll come experience a great celebration of the birth of Jesus with us.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
Quarterback Aaron Rodgers revealed on the Pat McAfee show that he hasn't been medically cleared yet, and it's more likely happening 3 to 4 weeks from now. The Atlanta Falcons are changing things up. They announced quarterback Taylor Heinicke as their starter for Week 16 against the Colts, demoting Desmond Ridder. The Colts have placed cornerback Tony Brown and wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie on the reserve suspended list for 3 games for conduct detrimental to the team. Both were surprise healthy scratches for Saturday's game against the Steelers, and the Colts haven't explained why they didn't play. And Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll says quarterback Geno Smith will practice this week and will play in Week 16 against the Titans. He also added that safety Jamal Adams could return as well. In the NBA, Ja Morant is set to make his return tonight for the Grizzlies as they take on the Pelicans. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is Jim Rome. Before you tune into the Jungle at 11, listen to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson, weekdays from 6 until 8.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Clear skies tonight with a low of 24. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 44 tomorrow, mainly clear. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, 32. Slight chance for isolated rain showers Thursday. Daytime highs approaching 45. 48, cloudy skies expected Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, 34.
Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650, The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. I was chit-chatting with our next guest, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports Network during the break there, and we were talking about, you know, you want to take some Christmas vacation, some holiday vacation this time of year, but when you're guys like us and you cover sports for a living, it's kind of hard to finagle that this time of the year. I was telling everybody yesterday, David, what the plan is around here on the radio station, and it sounds like David's going to be able to get some time off in January, so whenever that is, I'll make sure and let all you guys know, and you leave him alone, damn it, okay? He needs some time off, all right? Don't be tweeting him if Kirk Ferentz hasn't hired an offensive coordinator by the second week of January if he's sitting on a beach chair somewhere, okay? All right, now that we've got that out of the way, David joins us. Thanks for being here, man. How are you?
Good, man. I appreciate the kind words and the public statement. Just let me be. Let me have my Mai Tai on a beach somewhere as I just, you know, check out for a little bit.
But exactly.
Things are busy, man, but things are good. So we're rocking through it.
Yeah. You got the early signing period. What's the deadline on that? Friday, right?
I believe so, yeah. So Wednesday to Friday. But for most of the prospects, unless they're not committed at the time, they typically sign Wednesday, some sign Thursday. It kind of just depends on what, you know, what the player wants. Sometimes they want to sign with their teammates, and the school only likes to do one big ceremony of all of them.
Yeah.
And some guys don't want to just stand out like that. But we expect the majority, if not all of them, to sign tomorrow.
And is there a standalone in this recruiting class? I think most of the listeners out there that are into the recruiting stuff, they go and find it. You know what I mean? You guys do such a great job at HawkeyeInsider.com with that stuff. So if there was a front page news part of what is anticipated to happen for Iowa football Wednesday through Thursday, Friday-ish, what would you put, you know, top fold of that sports page?
You know, I think that's an interesting one because I think Kirk Ferentz and the way they kind of run their program, it's pretty undramatic, honestly, right? I mean, these guys have been together in this recruiting class for a long time. But I think two things stand out. Number one, Gavin Hoffman is going to be the only guy that is going to be an early enrollee. The tight end out of Overland Park, Kansas, is the 198th best recruit in the country, 6'5", 220. And you kind of think about the potential attrition that the Iowa tight end room could have, right? If Eric All and Luke Lachey go to the NFL, Steven Stylianos doesn't have any more eligibility. So you're losing three of your top four tight ends. They like Zach Ortworth. But Gavin Hoffman getting into the system, I think, early would definitely be a standout. You also look at just the in-state athletic class that they got. I mean, Derek Weisskopf, the standout from Williamsburg, Cody Fox, Cam Buffington, who I think is severely underrated as an athlete from Winfield, Iowa. And then probably the last one I would say is kind of a headliner. It would be James Rezar, the Bishop Kandy quarterback out of Jacksonville, Florida. 6'4", 205 pounds, is more known as an athlete than a quarterback at this point. But he's got the speed. He's got some shiftiness. He has a lot of athletic ability. So, you know, for Iowa fans, I've kind of clamored for a little bit more of a athletic quarterback or a guy that kind of can escape the pocket and make some things happen. Rezar definitely fits that bill.
That's really interesting, Lazard there and what he might be able to bring to Iowa's offense that, of course, back in the headlines this week, as I know Kirk Ferentz spoke about his search for a new play caller, a new offensive coordinator. David, you've said that former Wisconsin head coach Paul Christ has a shot to get this job. Scott Frost's name has come up, I think, since we last spoke. Do we have it all a grasp of being able to perhaps power rank these candidates? And how many candidates do we know might have a legit shot?
Yeah, so I think they're top four favorites. Now, I don't know where the Scott Frost thing completely blew up, and it blew up. I think Pat McAfee show talked about it. Like, I don't know how this, like, it was a bad game of telephone, right? he inquired about the job. I never thought it was a realistic possibility because there's a lot of tension between them. But Scott Frost has been poking in, trying to get some offensive coordinator jobs. I mean, he tried to get, he looked at Texas A&M. He looked at Penn State. He's looked at a couple others. So there was a call, but for all I know, Kirk Ferentz laughed and hung up on him.
Okay.
But set the record straight. If I was running a sports book, here's what I would say the field would look like. I would give Paul Chryst minus 115.
Ugh.
I would give Joe Philbin plus 110.
Okay.
Or plus 115.
Yeah.
And then I would give the field plus 150. There's a couple other candidates that Kirk has interviewed, and I believe he's going to have one more phone interview this week, and then he's going to have a couple in-person interviews before he makes his decision. We are expecting it to be the first or second week of January. But I think right now, I'm hesitant to use the term front runner because I don't want it to come back and bite me, but I would give Paul Chryst, he would have my crystal ball.
Oh, boy.
The Iowa's next offensive coordinator.
With respect to those guys who have forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, hearing those two names, it's like hearing that your first car is going to be a 1986 Buick LeSabre. And you were hoping, you're like, you know, I'd like to, if I could get like a Camaro or a Mustang, I know it won't be a new one, but maybe one that's like 12, 13 years old, that's still got some cool to it, still got a little flash.
Give me a Cadillac, right? Yeah. Give me a 1980s Cadillac.
Give me a big old boat that's got some genuine prestige to it, some old school that's still new school. You're giving me a 1990 Chevy Cavalier or a 1986 Buick LeSabre. I mean, these names are so not sexy. I don't know why the hell I expected anything else, David.
It's interesting too, because I know that Kirk had talked to some other people about inquiring on a couple of NFL analysts. There's a couple of ones that I'm hesitant to say because I've not been able to confirm it through three or four people. But there has been a couple names thrown around by two people.
Okay.
And I think they would have been intriguing options. But, you know, I'll stand up. I think Paul Chryst would be a really good hire because he has been a proven play caller and he's run good offenses at Wisconsin. Like, what Iowa was striving to be offensively is exactly what Paul Chryst ran at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you can kind of set your hat on and kind of say, you know what? We're going to continue to take steps in the right direction. Him and Kirk Ferentz have a great relationship. They have a high amount of respect for one another. Paul Chryst had a couple different wrinkles in his offense. He knows how to, you know, develop great running backs. And again, he's a proven play caller. He was the play caller, I believe, up until 2020 when he was running Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So that's a guy who fires me up more than Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin has a great football resume.
Not much
of a play calling resume. And with all due respect to him, if you bounce around a lot at every level, it's because you keep getting canned.
Yeah. Well, and I suppose maybe this is an oversimplification from more of a fan perspective, but I think maybe I can speak for a decent chunk of the fan base that goes, okay, I wasn't kidding myself that there was going to be some young, bright mind doing things 180 degrees different than what Kirk wants them done, who, you know, inquires, gets an interview, and becomes a candidate. But, I mean, can we get someone in here that at least is going to, in some form or fashion, push Kirk out of his comfort zone a little bit with some of the nature of this offense? Do you think that Paul Chryst has some of that in mentioning how he did what Iowa did in large part, but better, and that better part of it might be some stuff that, hey, Kirk, you may not have done this before, but it's time to do it. And, you know, be damned if you're uncomfortable about it.
You know, I think Kirk would listen, and I think there'd be a chance to at least show a couple new wrinkles or make some minor tweaks that could potentially have big results. But the thing I come back to is two things. One, Brian Ferentz is a bold personality. He's been a good interview, and he's also Kirk's son. And thinking a bold Kirk Ferentz son couldn't get Kirk Ferentz to budge on some of the stuff that he wants to do offensively.
Sure.
I don't have a high amount of confidence that Paul Chryst will be able to move the boat a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. How about, there's a bowl game coming up. Not sure if anybody is aware of that, but what do you make of this matchup against Tennessee? What kind of chance, if any, do you give the Hawks?
I mean, I need to see if Tennessee can even field a secondary at this point.
Yeah.
I think they've had seven guys opt out from that secondary or transfer. I mean, I think they could be – I need to go through the depth chart again, but it really seems like they could be playing a lot of walk-ons or, you know, guys that really haven't played a lot. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's important for this team to play one more game together. They've been through a lot. Getting 11 wins, I don't want to hear about the Big Ten West schedule. I don't want to hear about them underperforming against, you know, ranked teams. Those are definitely issues going forward. I still have a lot of concerns moving forward, but 11 wins, 11 wins. And the stat and the thing that stood out to me about yesterday, I'll even come back to this, Cole, talking to Kirk, is I don't know if you caught him saying this when we talk about the offensive coordinator. He said, you know, I don't really look at points per game, passing yards per game. I look at wins per game.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Kirk doesn't care as long as his team wins.
Well, that's awfully convenient for him. We'll see how it plays out for him in the long run. But, I mean, credit to him. He's had the last laugh more often than not in recent seasons. But, man, you just wonder about the sustainability of what's become this model. This just the model you can't even begin to wrap your head around. But let's shift gears now. Let's talk some basketball. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole and Company. Follow him on X at David Eicholt. Iowa women's basketball now 11-1 after that win over Cleveland State in Des Moines on Saturday, the homecoming of sorts for Caitlin Clark. It was really cool to see how this all came to be. You know, the wheels put in motion however many months ago to get this neutral court game scheduled at Wells Fargo Arena. And then there's so many alums of Iowa State, Iowa, and UNI in the Des Moines area and the surrounding suburbs there that, go figure, they fill that place up. And Wells Fargo Arena is a really nice venue, especially when it's got a capacity crowd like it did on Saturday, David.
Man, that was fun. I love the idea. I thought it was great. And it was really cool to see the women get the second game, get the night game, not the afternoon slot.
Yep.
Because, you know, there was a decent crowd for the men's game. There was some fun energy. You know, Owen Freeman continues to ascend, and I think he's going to be a future Big Ten star and a future star for this Iowa team. But the loudest cheer is when the women came on to warm up, and it kind of took me a full circle moment just of how much, you know, the women's game has grown and how much not just the University of Iowa. Obviously, Caitlin Clark and the University of Iowa are a huge part in growing the women's game. But the state as a whole, I think the state has a lot of really good women's basketball programs in this state. And I think that's really helped push the envelope forward. And seeing Caitlin Clark, you know, three after three, hits nine threes, every single one of them, the crowd just got louder and louder. And the atmosphere, you would not be able to tell if Iowa was up 30 or if they were in a one-possession game. Everybody was so engaged. It was a really cool thing. And I'm very happy that Beth Getz said that she wants to make that a yearly thing going forward, because I think it's just a great idea.
One more non-conference game Thursday night against Loyola Chicago before Big Ten play begins, and it is a, I mean, with respect to the Big Ten teams, fair to say top heavy, because the teams that are the creme de la creme in this Big Ten for the women, for women's basketball, I mean, they are clearly the best teams, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I was told by a couple Big Ten Network analysts that I was barely top five in the Big Ten.
I saw that.
Season. And
that coach that can't keep a job.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Like, she keeps doing these petty shots for some reason. I'm like, I guess I'd be pretty petty, too, if I gave up 35, 13, and 11 to Caitlin Clark in a 105, 49 at home loss. But, you know, that's beside the point. But the women, I think, moving forward, I still think they have a really good team. I think there's a lot of potential moving forward. Sharon Goodman has been an awesome story to watch this season. She's getting better and better as a pure post. Hannah Stolke looked as healthy as she's been the past 3 weeks. And remember, the team that made the finals last year, Iowa started 5-3 before they really got together. And I know a lot of people freaked out for the Kansas State loss. There's going to be a couple other tough losses probably in the Big Ten Conference. That's just the way this whole thing works. But you know, they still need to get Gabby Marshall going, but I really like the way some of the bench is playing. It seems like the team is still starting to gel together. And, you know, at the end of the day, Cole, if you have Caitlin Clark, you have a shot.
Yep.
That's just what I've learned, especially through the last year's tournament run.
I've learned that as well. I think that makes us a couple pretty smart sports guys there, David. before I let you go, man, the Iowa men's basketball team, 6-5 after the win against Florida A&M, 88-54 on Saturday. As you mentioned, Owen Freeman continues to play really well. Some of the other young guys played well in that game on Saturday, too. But I was telling Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst, last week on the show, David, that this team, it feels like a transition year team. I said at the top of the show, I don't think it'd be fair to say rebuild, but a transition year, because it just feels like, you know, they're a fringe NCAA tournament team, and like the ceiling of potential for this team, better, but not by much, than some of the early years of Fran. And Fran's been around a while now. Folks out there remember what that talent pool was like when he got here and was slowly building up the program. And, I mean, I know people think I'm some big Hawkeye hater or whatever, but, I mean, all, that being said, like, that's just what I see so far. And I'm happy to have my mind changed, but that's what I see with this team.
No, I think that's pretty close to spot on. I mean, I still like the makeup of this team. I still love their future potential. I like the term transition team because I don't believe there's a such thing as a rebuilding year in modern college basketball with the way the transfer portal is being used and everything. You can flip a team in one single offseason. But I also like, you know, Brock Harding, Laje Dembele. I still love his ceiling. He had a really nice game, you know, on Saturday against Florida A&M. I'm not reading too much into that. Owen Freeman, as I mentioned, he looks like he's going to be the Big Ten freshman of the year. Already has four Big Ten freshmen of the week honors. So I would advise people, you know, just support it, see what the future looks like. I still think there's Peyton Sanford, I think, will pull it together. But the one thing I'm really seeing that's a big glaring issue, Cole, and I think I told you this last time we spoke, we need to see constant leadership, accountability, and toughness on the court. And I know people always talk about missing Chris, missing Keegan, missing Luka. Of course you're going to miss three All-Americans. But this team misses Connor McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And I will die on that hill because they just do not have that same sort of edge that past teams have had. And, you know, people can say whatever they want about Connor's on-court performance. People that know ball know what he knows what he contributed on the court. But his leadership and his toughness is just so missed right now. Now, I think Iowa can pull it together. I mean, Iowa typically goes through a rough spell every single year, and they find a way to turn it around. The teams get better. And on top of that, the Big Ten, it's not that good this year, Cole.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's going to be plenty of opportunity moving forward for Iowa to at least kind of right the ship and at least put the foundation in place for future years to come. But I wouldn't throw this year out the window yet.
Yeah.
It's December 19th. It's just embrace it, I'd say, more than anything else, and get excited about some of the future players.
Great point about the Big Ten not being quite as good as it has in years past, and that could open a door where if a team like Iowa, you know, finds a rhythm, maybe they rip off 5 of 6 or 6 of 8 or something like that, and that might be all it takes when all the dust settles to find themselves in the NCAA tournament somehow. So no reason to check out on this team yet, but they're hill to me. And as you said, David, it's steeper than usual. So thanks as always. I kept you too long, but you're too kind, man. Always appreciate you. And maybe, hopefully, you'll be able to get a little bit of time away and enjoy the holidays, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, we'll figure it out, man. I always appreciate you having me on. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Enjoy your well-earned vacation. All right, buddy.
Thanks, man. Merry Christmas, David. Take care.
Yep.
David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Make sure you follow David on X at David Eichel. And a great gift for the Hawkeye fan in your family would be to go to HawkeyeInsider.com and pay for a year subscription for them. I'm sure, like usual, they got a deal going on right now that's incredibly affordable, that basically is stealing when you consider the great work that David and his colleagues do there, Sean Bach among them, at HawkeyeInsider.com. A great gift if you haven't gotten a gift yet for the Hawkeye fan in your life, or if you have gotten them a gift, you can get them this gift as well and it's not going to break your bank, and they'll appreciate it very much, I'm sure of it. So can't say thanks to David enough for all the time he gives to the program. Feeling thankful this time of year with Christmas right around the corner. So let's take this next time out. We'll get your Radio Iowa Sports. We'll come back on the other side. Got audio from Coach Kirk Ferentz, Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey, and UNI women's basketball assistant Brad Nelson. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says the Hawkeyes won't have a new offensive coordinator until after the Citrus Bowl against Tennessee. Brian Ferentz will not be returning, and the injury-plagued Iowa offense finished last in the country by averaging only 239 yards per game. Ferentz says he's made three calls regarding the job and plans to make one more call this week.
We'll really turn our attention to it when we get back here because, you know, you got to have some face-to-face meetings and those kinds of things. But I feel really, based on what I know right as I stand here right now, I feel total confidence that we'll have a really good person here. And I think there's some strong interest from people that would make a lot of sense that really fit. And I think we'll fit what we need.
To basketball, the Drake men are at home tonight in non-conference play to take on Alcorn State. The Bulldogs enter the game on a 7-game win streak. They're 10-1 overall. This is Radio Iowa.
So why do I need vaccinations?
If I don't get vaccinated, how sick could I get?
Can I get multiple vaccines at once?
What's done to make sure vaccines are safe?
It's important to address your concerns about vaccines. Just make sure to get answers from people you can trust. Ask your healthcare provider about vaccinations, because they know you, and they'll always put your health first. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be, seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it. Now, imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from, because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF to get help for them and you. That's 1-800-BETS-OFF. A message from Iowa HHS.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/Lofi's Bread.
At Cedar Valley Ortho Express, you can simply walk in to be seen by expert orthopedic providers for all your acute injury needs. The clinic is now open Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We're located at 4612 Prairie Parkway in Cedar Falls. Visit torresorthopedics.com/orthoexpress to learn more about us and our services. Injuries don't wait, and neither should you. Walk into Cedar Valley Ortho Express today.
Want to give something shiny and bright for a holiday gift this year? Our Tommy's Express Car Wash gift cards will delight your friends and family alike with our affordable 1 and 3 month options. They can wash your heart's content with our unlimited memberships and access our free vacuums and mat washing station. Just drive up today and pick up your gift card in Waterloo at 3110 University. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
I'm Roger from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We've been servicing cars and trucks for over 35 years, and our customers know us for low prices and quality work. From oil changes to brakes to transmission work, we'll get you back on the road with confidence, and we won't sell you a repair you don't really need. So if your car or truck is not running as it should be, bring it to Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
Want to make a difference in your life, a friend or family's life? Give the gift of health that keeps on giving all lifetime long. Gift of Health at the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County. We offer 40 plus fitness classes, swimming, strength and cardio, sports, childcare, caring qualified staff, memories and families that last a lifetime. The Gift of Health, the most precious gift of all. The Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, where you truly belong.
bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of Cole and Company continues. David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com joining us in that previous segment. And, I mean, just this Iowa offensive coordinator search, it's going pretty much like anybody should have expected it to go. Not really exciting names in the mix for this job. And those names also not seeming to be anybody who would come in looking to push Kirk Ferentz out of his comfort zone, much less, here's a crazy idea, maybe be able to run their own damn offense. I mean, it's just remarkable. I mean, it speaks to who would want the job. Paul Chryst, Joe Philbin, Scott Frost. These are guys that nobody else is touching. Like, if they're getting any job, they're getting that NFL or college football analyst job. Tell us what you saw. That's it. We'll take it under advisement. But you're not making any decisions, Joe Philbin or Paul Chryst or Scott Frost, that's really going to be able to affect what happens on game day, because you're just not that guy. Not anymore, or not right now. You know, guys can make comebacks. I'm not saying that can't happen. But, you know, you heard part of the audio there of Kirk talking about the offensive coordinator search during the Radio Iowa update. Here's another bit of audio from that press availability that he had. And Kirk is basically saying, you know, got to focus on this bowl game first.
By the time we're legally allowed to really do something, that'll coincide with my schedule, and really my first and foremost thoughts have been on this team, and they will remain that way through New Year's. You know, we have an opportunity right now. I think we'd be one of five teams to win more than 10 games here in the history of the program. That's pretty significant. So for me not to be focused on that first and foremost would really be negligent of my duties.
All right. Yeah, I mean, What do you have to say, Hawkeye fans? I mean, did you really expect anything different? I mean, I guess I allowed myself to think that, and I was even, when the Scott Frost stuff started to blow up, I quickly talked myself into that, going, you know, Scott Frost seems to be the type of guy who, having ran or been the play caller, the OC out at Oregon when they were still really cooking out there, that was when he was the OC when Mariota won the Heisman. That on paper is a good get. I understand the stench that's following him from his failed tenure at Nebraska. I know. I remember. I was there. It wasn't long ago. I also remember when he was at Oregon as the play caller for Marcus Mariota, who won a Heisman and was regarded as one of the most innovative offenses in college football history. And I'm not kidding myself that if Scott Frost, say, did actually get the damn job, that he'd come in and change Kirk's mind and you know, everything would change and be great and different and awesome. But maybe he'd push him out of his comfort zone more than any of these other candidates. I think that's safe. That'd be a safe bet. I mean, if you're going to bet on anybody, Scott Frost. So, I don't know. I'd be curious to know what anybody out there thinks about this whole offensive coordinator search. But in the time that we do have left, just a little bit here, want to hear from UNI Women's Basketball Assistant Coach Brad Nelson, who had met the media yesterday to preview the Panthers' upcoming in-state rivalry game at Iowa State tomorrow night. Also discussed a week's worth of practices that were much needed given the Panthers' 1-7 record this season. And he began by describing why he thought not having a game this past week was really a blessing for this team that's struggled and had injuries.
Obviously, it was a different type week coming off with no games. But in all honesty, I think people talk a lot in sports, if you're losing, you like to get out and play again. I think this was a good timing for us not to have a game, just for us, you know, with finals. And then just, you know, just get back to practice and improving. You know, we got to continue to get better. As coaches, we've changed a few things, what we've done in practice, and our kids have really responded well. So that's a good sign. We got them through finals. That's a great sign. And now we can turn everything to basketball for a while, which, you know, we got to continue to get better.
As I mentioned before, all-conference starters Maya McDermott, Grace Buffelli have been among the Panthers to miss time due to injury. Nelson was asked if the roster is healthier after that week without a game.
You know, we're getting close. We're getting close. You know, it's really been a day-by-day thing. I think since we started in September, we've only had one day where all 13 kids have been healthy enough to practice. And there's just so many factors in regards to that, because when you don't get the kids to play together, it's just hard for them to develop that continuity. And then when you bring those kids back, it changes everyone's roles, and it's very difficult. But you know what? Injuries happen. It's part of sports. Coach Warren and I have never been hit with anything like this, with the number that we've had and for the length of time, and with all of some key pieces. A lot of starters have been injured. But, you know, I think mentally and physically, you know, we have gotten healthier. But, you know, we still need to get whole.
Listen to you and I at Iowa State women's basketball tomorrow night right here on The Fan, pregame at 6, tip-off at 6:30. All right, let's take this final timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Andrew Siciliano with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Seahawks quarterback Drew Lock leads a 92-yard game-winning drive in the final 2 minutes, and the Seahawks shock the Eagles 2017 Monday night in Seattle. Locke makes his second consecutive start for the injured Geno Smith, throws for 208, and the game winner to Jackson Smith and Jigba. Seahawks now 7-7. Jalen Hurts fights through an illness to play, but throws 2 fourth-quarter interceptions as the Eagles fall to 10-4. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports Bengals wide receiver Jamar Chase likely to miss Saturday's game against the Steelers with a separated shoulder, potentially even more time after that. And for the Steelers, head coach Mike Tomlin says the team will turn to Mason Rudolph week 16. A quarterback also, safety Devontae Casey, suspended the remainder of the season by the league for a hit on Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman on Saturday. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Menards is celebrating Ryan Blaney's NASCAR championship with 12% off everything till Christmas. Get a home safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Ensure you have the proper equipment for all areas of your home, like smoke and carbon monoxide alarms and fire safety equipment. Get a general use fire extinguisher for just $16.97 after 12% off. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. Sorry, no price adjustments. See store for details.
Four Seasons greetings to you all from Menards.
This is Councilman Dave Sires. Let's not forget this Christmas time, the words of Reverend Francis. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is still the central figure for much of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas to all, from Councilman Dave Sires.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The NFL season is often described as multiple chapters of a book. The team will be judged by the entirety of that book, but some chapters are better than others. Take a look at the Niners. The team lost 3 in a row to end October. Fast forward to mid-December, and the Niners are viewed as heavy Super Bowl favorites. After a loss to Drew Lock and the Seahawks last night, the Eagles are now in the midst of a similar slump, dropping their record to 10-4. A double-digit win season is nothing to be ashamed of, but this is a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. And over the past month, Philly's weaknesses have started to be exposed. Every team goes through slumps during a season, but the issue here is timing. The Niners had plenty of time to work through their flaws and injuries. The Eagles' skid is occurring right when elite teams should be hitting their stride. And if Philly can't find a way to overcome its issues, it could be a short postseason for the defending NFC champs. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. All I want for the holidays this season is some NBA action. Well, maybe some other things, but this week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for just betting $5. An instant dub just for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code Patrick. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/basketball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate all of you. As I said before on the show, feeling really thankful today as Christmas draws near, counting my blessings. And you guys, a big, big part, a big number of those. So appreciate you all, and I hope you all have a great holiday season and a Merry Christmas. Coming up tonight, bowl season begins here on The Fan. The Frisco Bowl, UTSA taking on Marshall. Coverage begins at 8, just ahead of kickoff. Over on Cruising KCFI, Cedar Falls boys basketball playing host to Western Dubuque, 7:15 pregame, 7:30 tip for Ryan Schultz's Tigers. Enjoy the night, everybody. Mark Simpson will have you tomorrow morning between 6 and 8.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.